Dare to dream, dream, dream. Welcome to the Dare to Dream radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Dashinger. Join me every week as I interview inspiring guests from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the world, who had a dream and found a way to make that dream come true. Listen to this worldwide award-winning radio show every week and learn to dare to dream and make your dreams come true. Sit back and enjoy, and welcome.
You can be anything, a rock star, beauty queen, fly with a broken wing, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream.
This is Debbie Dashinger, and it is such a thrill and a pleasure, as always, to be with you. I just want to say one thing right here at the start. If you're listening, you got to write in. You know, it's amazing how I'll hear from people all around the world who listen to the show, but I know the majority of you don't write in. Take the time. Let me know how you like the show, what you think about the show, what you think about any guests, what you like to see, not like to see, or anything you want to communicate about the dreams you're creating. You can write to daretodreamradio@gmail.com. I love hearing from you guys. I can't tell you how meaningful it is, and people do reach out a lot. So again, it's daretodreamradio@gmail.com. Thanks. I know I'll get to hear from some of you I haven't before. Also, just so you know, here's the question of the day. What is one gift you wish you could give someone? Boy, and what would that create? So, in creating dreams, it's also pretty cool to create dreams that would open up doors for other people as well. You know, later on in the show, I'm going to have Thomas M. Hewlett on. He writes supernatural mysteries. This is an author. I love to say a real author, meaning like he was born to write. And his first book, he has a series called 12 Stakes. It's a book series. His very first book was called One Death at a Time, an international bestseller. I could tell you I'm reading it right now. It's a page-turner. He writes supernatural noir about magic-addicted fae, drug-smuggling werewolves, and vampires hiding out in AA. And so he'll be on a little later. And for anyone who's an aspiring author, writer, loves books like I do, voracious reader, wait till you hear more about how he creates what he does. So again, back to that question, what's one gift you wish you could give someone? Just think about that, and what would that be? I'll give you some people who wrote in to me when I asked that question, and here's what they said. Patty from South Carolina wrote in, I would give someone opportunity. I believe hope is the key. Opportunity gives people hope. How would that be for you? Someone named Mary wrote in from Ohio, freedom from debt is what I would give. Paying off someone else's debt and knowing they'd be released from all that worry would enrich me even more than money ever could. Channing wrote in from New York City, courage. A lot of my friends have goals they could reach if they knocked their negative thinking, if they just blocked it out and just leaped. Those thoughts pile up and make you talk yourself out of something that could be amazing. I would give someone courage. It's so important for each of us who have this gift, this proclivity, this talent, that we demonstrate passion and perseverance for whatever it is. There have been studies. There was a particular study for kids and adults, and they found that there was one characteristic that was a significant predictor of success. Guess what it was? Grit. It's true. They found that if someone had grit, it meant they would have success. And they said grit is having stamina, basically. Grit is sticking with your future day in, day out, not just for the week, but for the month, but for the years, and really working hard or playing hard to make that reality and make that future a reality. They said grit is basically living life like it's a marathon, not a sprint. So for people who are really myopic and just looking at the now and what's not here, remember, if you keep showing up, what could be there, the energy that could be there, and create the future right now. The other research that I thought was really interesting was done in Stanford, and of course these are all psychology researches. They said that people with a growth mindset see failure as a way to grow, and therefore they embrace challenges. They persevere against setbacks. They learn from criticism, and they reach higher levels of achievement. So people with a growth mindset find it easier to show up. You know, it's just never too late for any of us to accept, to acknowledge. If you're not satisfied, shift what you're doing. It's okay to start over if that's what it means, or just change your direction. Change your direction. Make a smaller right than you were going to. It's okay also sometimes not to have clarity and to just try things out. Life is just too short to do anything other than what you really enjoy and love doing. So what are some other things that people wrote in? The one wish you could give somebody else. Kathleen from Honolulu said, I wish I could tell young women who are starting their careers that their opinions matter. So please don't shrink into the background. Have the confidence to stand tall and know that you've earned the right to be your strong and successful self. And then Allison from Walden, New York wrote in, I give people the art of just being. Too many people are looking ahead to the next thing. Just enjoy the moment. So in conclusion, just remember, you deserve to be successful. Success is waiting for you no matter how much or how little time you need to get to it. Dare to dream, right? Dare to dream and dare to create all your dreams into your reality. Claim your place in the world. And most of all, just remember, wherever you are, it's perfect. It's perfect. It doesn't have to be better, more accomplished, more fulfilled. You just are where you are, and that's okay. And what is the one gift, if you could, that you would give someone else? And maybe today, you can find a way to start to align with that and give it a little bit out into the world. Thomas M. Hewlett is here today. Thomas grew up in Los Angeles and was raised on a steady diet of science fiction, fantasy, and all things mythic or paranormal. Thomas knew he wanted to be a writer at the age of 12. However, after college, he strayed from the path and into drugs and alcohol addiction. Hewlett had his first drink when he was 17 and blacked out shortly after finishing it. He woke up 13 years later with little to show for his life besides a notebook full of unwritten books. Finally, in 2011, he hit rock bottom and ended up in a rehab facility. It was there, at his lowest point, that he rediscovered the power of writing and found the idea for his first novel, One Death at a Time, when a good friend suggested he write a story about vampires in AA. With the encouragement and support of his loving wife, he decided to combine his experiences of addiction and recovery with his love of modern fantasy and noir mystery. Writing the 12 Stakes book series saved Thomas's life and became his way of telling a new story about himself. It's his hope that other lost souls will find through his work a community of readers and the inspiration to reimagine their lives. Here's where you can find him, his website, 12stakes.com. On Facebook, find him as Thomas M. Hewlett, and on Instagram as 12stakes. Thomas, welcome to Dare to Dream. It's really great to have you.
Hi, Debbie. Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm looking forward to our conversation on the 12 Stakes book series and what it takes to be an author like yourself at an international level. So I want to start with an intro so the readers understand. Like I said, reading your book, almost done, total, oh my God, I'm so tough on books. Like if it's not a page turner, I get too bored and I'm out and I'm on to the next. And I can sometimes search through 20 book samples, but yours had me at hello. So let me read this so people understand. Welcome to the world of 12 Stakes. Set in the gritty, supernatural underworld of Los Angeles, the sweeping saga of the 12 Stakes series takes you deep into the heart of the battle for the fate of the world. The story opens with One Death at a Time, Book 1, when vampire detective Jack Strayhorn's hunt for a supernatural hitman leads him to uncover a plot to take over the Fae drug trade and an ancient prophecy that could spell doom for every vampire he knows. As the series unfolds and the battle intensifies, humanity's survival will lie with four broken and haunted heroes. They'll have to find their powers and conquer their own demons in order to unite and fight together. I want to start with that book, One Death at a Time, international bestseller, understandable. What did that mean for you to write that, to have those characters come to life, very first book? What was its meaning for you?
Well, for me, that getting that first book out, even at the first, when I finished that first draft, and for the first time in my life got to write the words "the end" at the end of a stack of pages, to me, that was, I became a different person, I truly believe. I became the person that I always wanted to be, or at least took that first step into a new self. I had stories rolling around in my head for years, and when I got this idea for the book and for the series, like the characters came, they literally showed up in a dream one night and mapped out where they wanted the story to go. And so wrestling with that, with the discipline of writing every day and just moving forward until it was done, when I finally got it out, like I just felt like I'm in a new place. I'm in a new world, and it's exciting and it's fun. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know I opened the door finally. Like, to me, it was a big step.
I am so glad you mentioned that it came to you in a dream, because I'm fascinated by how these things come through you and onto a page. What was that like? How did the dream unfold that you understood so fully what to write?
Well, when I first got the idea, I mean, it really sunk in. You know, my friend had kind of offhandedly suggested, you know, half joking, oh, you should write about vampires in AA. And the idea hit me, and it wouldn't let go. And the character and the story, the premise of this, the world kind of unfolded very quickly. So I felt like I was just, I know a lot of writers have said this, I felt like I was transcribing something rather than inventing it, like it was coming through. So one night I had this dream where three of the four characters showed up, and we were in a theater and sitting backstage, and they had been presenting the story. They came backstage, so they knew that this was a kind of a play we were putting on by writing this. But they literally unfolded a map, and it looked like the exact... I had this habit of putting paper up on the wall and drawing out my outlines, and it looked just like that. And one of the characters, the character's name is Zero. He's a werewolf vampire hybrid. He's like semi feral almost. He lives out on the streets. He didn't show up because he doesn't like people. And I knew, like, all of these were signs about how to write these characters, how to let them do what they want to do. And it was really interesting.
And have you ever done that, where you map it out or comes to you and you put it down on paper, and then somehow in reading it back, did one of your characters tap you on the shoulder and said, not quite what I meant, buddy. I think you need to rearrange this, or I really said that.
Well, I've written two books in this series, and I have a draft of number three, and at this point, the outline is a good way to get started, but I've learned to keep it loose. It's, you know, they say the map is not the territory. So the outline for me has become a way to get moving and a suggestion, but the characters definitely need the freedom to react differently. And I find that the better I am at drawing them, the better I am of observing and kind of letting them react naturally.
Can I go back to this idea that you blacked out from drinking and started drinking at a youngish age, and it seemed to take its hold on you quite quickly, went into rehab, and then you talk about writing saving your life. Take me through that. How did it save your life? What is it doing for you, and how do you function in recovery through writing and with writing?
Well, I say that writing saved my life, and I mean it literally. Like when I got out of rehab, after that many years of self-medicating my emotions and my thoughts with drugs and alcohol, I didn't have that recourse anymore. So everything that was coming out, all of these uncontrollable thoughts, these urges, my ways of dealing with the world have been very self-destructive. And when I couldn't do that, I needed somewhere to channel those emotions creatively and constructively and safely. And writing gave me that outlet. You know, I was writing about a character who was an alcoholic as well, also a monster. And so his view of the world as an outsider and as, you know, someone who was battling inner demons.
And are you speaking about Jack Strayhorn?
I am, yes, Jack Strayhorn, the vampire detective from One Death.
Got it.
He was my way of dealing with these things, because I could throw everything on him on the page and unravel it and explore it and let him learn and comment on it. And we did this together. And that became my my safe outlet for this, my way of letting it all out. And then letting it out, but having the critical distance to look at it and deal with it and then kind of unpack it objectively. I needed that safe remove. And it really helped me understand what I had been through. So I continued to do this in my recovery. The stakes are a lot lower now because I've put some time in, and I've let a lot of that stuff out and done the work. So for me, it's a much more fun to continue to excavate this and explore it. And all of these dark corners that I spent so many years hiding, I let them out now because they're part of the writing. They all come out there and they help it. You know, it's not something to be ashamed of anymore. It's something to use constructively as fuel.
And 12 book series, you mentioned you finished the second, you're embarking now on the third. So
correct.
So for someone like me, because I'm in now, I'm fully in, you know, I'm loving this book. And one of the things, I don't know if other readers relate to this, but when you get so invested in a book and the characters and where it's going, and the worst thing is often the last page. It's like a mourning, like, oh my God, how could this be over? And
yes.
I don't want to start all over again. So the fact that I know I have at least 11 more to go, that makes me happy because it's
yes.
going to keep living inside of my imagination. So I'm curious, how are you mapping out the next ones? What can we expect?
Well, in the first book, we met Jack Strayhorn, and we met him and his world, where he comes from. He's returning to Los Angeles after, 60-odd years of, he left in disgrace. He had just become a vampire. Now he's come back. He's been traveling all over the world, solving crimes, learning to control his powers, and we see that. But we also get a taste of this larger conspiracy and threat coming, and he's just scratched the surface of it. So in book two, we go back and we meet another one of the characters, Devin McKay, the Fey alchemist. His family is responsible for the magical drugs that Jack has encountered in the first book.
Oh,
so we go
okay.
back and we see, well, how did this mess get started? And we learn the important, the kind of disastrous world-changing choices Devin made accidentally. As we see him in his life and how he discovers this drug that changes the supernatural world and what it means for him. He's on the run from his family. Everybody's after this guy because of the secret he's discovered. And we follow him through book two and book three as he starts to meet the rest of the characters. So book four, this is when we'll break into the final two characters, Talia Cienfuegos, the witch, who's suffering from this kind of addiction to her own magic. It's just causing havoc in her life. And we meet Zero, who's out on the streets, and he doesn't even know where he comes from. He's not a vampire. He's not a werewolf. He's a little of both. He's never been seen before, this kind of creature. So each of these characters has their own arc to deal with. They have their own villains. They have their own
their own demons to conquer. But overall, we'll see as the series continues, this ever-deepening, sweeping danger is coming. This ancient evil has been unleashed on the world, and they don't know it yet. But every book, it gets closer and closer, and it's going to need all of them working together to fight it.
Oh, my God. Okay, cool. I hope Jack Strayhorn is going to be happy. I feel so sorry for his broken heart, too. He has a bit of a history romantically that didn't work out. And there's so much. He's. I love how flawed he is and how relatable and lovable, I have to say, with all his flaws and all the things he thinks and the ways he acts, which I feel like is not, he's not the kind of guy who's trying to be liked by everybody. He really has an edge. Yes, and a past, and it's like you so get it and sometimes want to be a little bit like him. So when we come back, we're going to be finding out more from Thomas, because I have some questions about what he does to create dreams, but also a little later for those of us who are interested in really being writers, creating a book, putting something out. How does he do it? What is it that we need to learn from him and his brilliance about being an author and an international best-selling author? You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. You can get your free Dare to Dream Radio mobile app. Put it on your phone. It's on iTunes, and the app is called Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. And also join me after the show on Facebook, Dare to Dream Radio and TV. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
Radiant Skincare is located on the west side of Los Angeles, and it's the best skin and body care clinic to pamper yourself. Their services are both for men and women. Radiant Skincare offers the latest in techniques and products. Your face and body are in the best hands, and you'll love what they do. Check Yelp for rave reviews about Molly at Radiant Skincare. Be sure to try their microcurrent facelift for a non-surgical, natural-appearing facelift. Go to Radiant Skincare, located at 1700 Westwood Boulevard in Los Angeles, and get the best skin and body treatments available today. Call Radiant Skincare at 310-696-9554. With rave Yelp reviews, call 310-696-9554. Mention Dare to Dream Radio and get 25% off at Radiant Skincare. Just call 310-696-9554.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question. Always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
MyBestsellerBook.com helps you self-publish and you keep all the royalties. Even if your book is already published, MyBestseller.com will help you become a best-selling author. Your book will be promoted to a large global following. Enjoy a press release and book review. Make your next book launch bigger and better. MyBestsellerBook.com has long-term client credibility and 100% success in turning books into bestsellers. MyBestsellerBook.com.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email ads at debbiedashinger.com. That's ads at debbiedashinger.com.
Are you ready to work with a leader whose clients get results? Debbie Dashinger believes you were born with a unique gift. She leads exceptional teleseminar classes and consults leaders and executives to go beyond obstacles and limits. Clients worldwide receive accelerated results and are catapulted into spectacular successes. For an appointment, go to www.debbiedashinger.com.
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
MyBestsellerBook.com helps you self-publish and you keep all the royalties. Even if your book is already published, MyBestsellerBook.com will help you become a best-selling author. Your book will be promoted to a large global following. Enjoy a press release and book reviews. Make your next book launch bigger and better. MyBestsellerBook.com has long-term client credibility and 100% success in turning books into bestsellers. MyBestsellerBook.com.
Tell your soul to me, I will never let go completely. One day our hands will be.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger. I'm interviewing author Thomas M. Hewlett. You can find him, his books, and he even has cool things like cups and merchandise that match his books. It's 12 Stakes. com, and you spell out the word T-W-E-L-V-E, stakes.com. Thomas, I want to get a little bit into dreams, because you're someone who has, you've been through it. You know, you've had some crap happen to you in your life, and you picked yourself up, you've healed a lot, you found a way to keep the healing going through recovery and through writing. How do you make dreams come true? So you've got a dream, you feel this inspiration. What are some things you do indigenous to you that create success?
I think the number one thing I do is to I choose to receive what the dreams are telling me. And I don't mean to sound mystical about that. Yeah, I take it as a matter of principle, just a matter of fact, that this dream is a message, and it's not it's guidance. It's telling me something that I can act on. And so to me, it's a hit of intuition, and it's saying, look, follow this, see what happens. And rather than hesitate or reject that or question myself, I give myself permission to follow it. Okay, these characters showed up. Okay, then I'm going to write it. There's something here. Something, whoever you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, is talking to me, and it's a gift. And so I'm going to run with it. I think for me, and I have found other writers say this in other ways,
when you start writing, beginner writers, the big thing you need is permission. You're waiting around for permission to call yourself a writer, permission to write that crazy idea, permission to turn your life into a book or a memoir, whatever it is. And what I found is no one's going to give you the permission. You already have that permission. You want to write, you are a writer. Write that book. Get it out. See what happens.
Mm. And what about challenges? For most of us, when we embark on a dream, or maybe not the first, second time, but somewhere while we're creating big, and usually we create bigger every time we've had a success. So have you had challenges and issues when you're creating a dream? If so, what are they?
I am having a challenge right now, in fact.
Okay.
As I mentioned, I mentioned over the break, I'm writing book three of my series, and I wrote a complete draft of it, and it just simply did not work. You know, I gave this book to the readers, and my wife is my first reader, and she read it and couldn't even finish it. So you know what? This is not happening. This is not working. And it was humbling, and it was a blow to my ego and all of that stuff. I took a day to feel bad and kick myself. And then I said, you know what? All right, this is a chance to get back into the magic of this story and this world. You know, there's something in 12 Stakes that excites me, and it excites the readers, and it was there in the first two books. And it's just this magic and this mystery. And I'd lost that in that draft, I have to say. But it's an opportunity I decided to just write it again, start over. And it's an opportunity to become a better writer by just admitting that, you know, this is a necessary failure, and I can dig deeper, and I can do it, and I can surprise myself. That to me is an opportunity of any mistake.
I want to ask, because that denotes flexibility. You know, so you think you've got a good product, you put it out, your wife is like, I can't finish it, you put it out to readers, they're reflecting the same, ouch. And not just ouch, ego, ouch, but my God, the amount of work that goes into something, and you're plodding along thinking, this is terrific, but you're hearing something completely different. How did you become malleable and flexible? What came up for you that allowed you to accept the criticism and go a different direction?
What I heard was, okay, you spent all this time writing it, and it didn't work. This is now an opportunity to go even further into this world, even dig deeper, you know, and expect more of myself. Like, what a great opportunity to know that I can be a better writer if I want to be, if I choose to be. So I saw it as, you know, I won't say I wasted this time, because I took the time to write the draft and it didn't work. But if I had gone on thinking that everything I write is golden, and just put it out there and kept trying to publish books and never, you know, took criticism or tried to be better, it wouldn't work. In the end, it would waste more time, and it would cause more damage. So I think of myself as saving all of that time, the future me. I saved a lot of problems for future Thomas by doing this now. Mm-hmm. And I think in the long run, a few weeks spent writing this book is insignificant to the rest of my career and what this will mean for me.
You know, I spent 17 years myself, and I know this is now no longer anonymous, my saying this, but I also spent 17 years, not for alcohol or drugs, in a 12-step program. And I loved it. You know, life changer. Crappy the first night you're there, and you're thinking, man, it's never going to get better. But you keep coming back, and everything changes. You work the steps. And I want to say the one thing that I read that still to this day resonates throughout me, and I'm going to ask you what your favorite is, but my favorite saying was this, and this is a quote, "An acceptance is the answer to all my prayers for today." And for anyone who doesn't know that, let me give you a little more. "An acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it's because I find some person, place, thing, situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. And unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. And why that was so profound, I used to have a lot of problems feeling anger. A lot of problems with feeling and expressing anger. And of course, as we know, every emotion is just natural. It's just energy. It doesn't matter. But if you buckle it down, it can't be expressed. And it usually, for me, it imploded upon myself, not on other people. I just hurt myself more. Mm-hmm. And one day I took that expression and said, wow, if acceptance is the answer to all my problems and anger is a problem, what if I accepted my anger? And I would go to this place where I literally just spent a moment and a breath in acceptance of exactly what was. And I was blown away by the transmutation. Immediately, all that became something else. And in fact, the onus was off that feeling. There was such a huge change in me to start playing this with different things going on inside of me. So that was my profound awakening. I would love to know what for you is something you use that has been life-changing, mind-changing, altering when something's going off that you can call upon from the 12-step program.
I was very inspired, and I still have this this saying knocking around my head from time to time. When I first showed up, I heard, if I can get this straight, you can't think your way into right action, but you can act your way into right thinking. So for me, you cannot think your way into right action, but you can act your way to right thinking. Now, I lived in my head for most of my life and tried to examine my problems and my emotions just intellectually and removed from myself, and it just never got anywhere. It's all in my head. That's what I heard. For me, it's all about taking action, taking that first step, you know, writing that first sentence. I was going to say draft, but it's really is the first page. But nothing will change until I do something. And then when I make a choice and take an action that leads to other actions, other choices, everything starts opening up. If I just try to think my way through a problem, everything shuts down and no possibilities come up because I haven't done anything.
Act your way into right thinking. Okay, so that's a great segue. You once said something to me, Thomas, and it stayed with me ever since, and I'm glad I finally have a chance to ask you. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you said something like you could finish a book in 60 days. Was that right? Or tell me the amount of time that you know you can write a book.
Yes, 60 days is a very good 60 days is a good duration. I'm shooting, honestly, for a month for that first draft. But yes. I think
then I want to know how. Literally, how do you break your life down, your book down, your writing? What is it that you employ? Like, show me the way, honey. Teach me. Because that is profound right there, and I'd love to know how you create that.
Well, it's mostly practical. It's a way of giving myself this, counterintuitive as it may sound, it's a way of giving myself the freedom to do anything. Because look, if I say, look, I'm not trying to write, 2000 page War and Peace novel. I'm trying to write a 300 page novel, say. So at 2 months, that's 5 pages a day, if I did that math correct. But with a page count a day, I have a specific goal. I have it's chunked down into bite-sized days and hours. And that to me is doable. That's like, oh, okay. It takes all the mystery out of it. Now it's just a page count. And I know the first draft, and as I said, I've had the opportunity to learn this the hard way. The first draft is not going to be perfect. No one says it has to be perfect. It's just a first draft. Its only job is to lead you to the final draft. So in 60 days, you can just let it rip. Get your 5 pages in every day. You're good to go. And have the discipline to show up at the desk every day and not leave until those pages are done.
You know, I'm assuming, too, when you say 5 pages a day, there are days you say, okay, let's say 30 minutes, an hour, whatever that might take. I'm committed to doing these 5 pages. Then is it true that you sit down and there's no way I'm getting up? I don't care if it's been 5. I got 15 more ripping through me.
Yeah, those are great days. If it's coming, still coming. But I do take the old Hemingway rule of stop while you know what's going to happen next, so you can come back the next day and get right back into it. I think that's a great advice.
Excellent. Okay. Well, 5 pages a day is doable for anybody. And then for somebody who can't do 5 pages a day, I assume you could look at your calendar and say, look, I can only write every Thursday and Sunday. You know, or I have kids, I have a family, I have whatever's going on, and maybe it's only every Sunday or every Monday. But whatever it is, if there's a real commitment and a time element and a place to write, it can be done? That's a question. Can it be done?
It can be done. And I think, too, that if you have these responsibilities, you have these time commitments, then don't think of it as, this is something I have to do. Think of it as, hey, you know what? I get to take 20 minutes and have fun. I get to write one page. Like that's my time for me. That's my time to enjoy being in the story, being in my characters, being in my, on the page. I think fun is a very undervalued virtue in our society today, because we're all about productivity. Productivity is great, but fun is fuel.
Fun is fuel, and act your way into right thinking. Well, this is Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream Radio. You can write me about the radio show at daretodreamradio@gmail.com. When we come back, we're going to find out from Thomas what keeps him grounded. What does he use every day, and what does he next dare to dream? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
Radiant Skincare is located on the west side of Los Angeles, and it's the best skin and body care clinic to pamper yourself. Services are for men and women. Radiant Skincare offers the latest in techniques and products. Your face and body are in the best hands. You'll love what they do. Check Yelp for rave reviews about Molly at Radiant Skincare. Be sure to try their endermology treatments. They are cellulite treatments. That's their specialty. Endermology reduces your body's dimpling and fat accumulation. It beautifully contours and smooths out any cellulite and fatty areas on your body. Call Radiant Skincare at 310-696-9554. Go to Radiant Skincare, located at 1700 Westwood Boulevard in Los Angeles, and get the best skin and body treatments available today. With rave Yelp reviews, call 310-696-9554 and mention Dare to Dream Radio to get 25% off. That's Radiant Skincare at 310-696-9554.
Be laser focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. Great rates at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor the Dare to Dream radio show at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business. Write to ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question, always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
Do you have a published book that never reached its bestseller potential? Are you working on a book or ebook you hope to publish soon? Do you have a book locked inside, waiting to release your message to the world? Go to mybestsellerbook.com. My bestseller book will launch your book to a guaranteed bestseller status. Learn more at mybestsellerbook.com.
Be laser focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. Great rates at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor the Dare to Dream radio show at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business. Write to ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What books are you reading? Are you ready for a must-read? Winner of the Inspirational Book of the Year Award and international bestsellers, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts by Debbie Dashinger, as well as the acclaimed Wisdom to Success, The Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams. Buy the books from Amazon today. U.S. Book Review and Writer's Digest said these are critics' picks. By Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream and Wisdom to Success contain gems to live your life by.
MediaMasteryRadio.com. Learn how to get booked on radio, be paid in money, time, and sales quickly while helping others through your media visibility. At MediaMasteryRadio.com, learn how to get on radio and be interviewed. Debbie Dutchinger is a success and media expert who is a proven professional. Go to MediaMasteryRadio.com. Stop struggling to acquire clients. Learn to achieve instant visibility to the masses. Book radio interviews for a profitable business. Learn to communicate what you do and get results at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
What is forgiveness like in your life? Is there someone right now that you need to forgive? Project Forgive is changing all that, teaching you how to skillfully forgive and finally get that freedom. Go to www.projectforgive.com. It's time you freed yourself and freed your dream. You're listening to Dare to Dream.
Tuning in after we started, this is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio. I'm interviewing Thomas M. Hewlett, who's the international best-selling author of the 12 Stakes book series. You can find Thomas at 12stakes.com. Thomas, this is Dare to Dream Radio, so I want to just start with, what do you next dare to dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
My future dreams and goals include taking 12 Stakes to multiple media platforms. I have a lot in store for this series, and there's a lot going on in the world that I want to explore. Other stories to tell, I want to take some of the, like Jack's backstory, for example, like where has he been for 60 years? What are these cases he's been wandering around solving, like, you know, some guy out of Kung Fu? And I want to turn those into graphic novels. I see this series as becoming like a, like maybe like a Netflix series or something. So I want to really blow it out. And I think 12 Stakes wants to become a many-headed beast. And I'm going to do everything I can to support that.
What do you need for that dream to come true? What pieces don't you have that you would like to attain?
I want to attract the people who will get excited to turn this into something else with their own talents. I want to pull in the illustrators, the writers, other writers, the people who can get involved in this world and tell stories in it as well in their own way. And like, let's all work together. I really am inspired by the James Patterson model of writing books. So this collaborative process with many different partners and just making a big splash across a lot of different media.
You know, you've mentioned your wife, Nancy. It's when I read about you and I've researched you, she shows up as having really pushed you to start this. She reads your novels. She gives you feedback. I want to ask, is she an inspiration to you? Is she your muse?
She is all that and more. She's my my biggest inspiration. And Nancy is a woman in my life who really not just pushes me to be more, she makes me want to be more. And we work together, and I'm continually just in awe of her insight and her perspective. And I do write for her. You know, I write these books knowing that she's going to be the first one to read it. And I'm not ashamed to say that I really do want to see her gasp and laugh and go, my God, this is great. You know? If I get that reaction out of her, it's I know the book is, one, I know the book is good. But two, I know that I've reached my intended audience.
And what keeps you going every day? Is there a ritual? Is there a practice that, you know, keeps you grounded? I'm not sure that's exactly the word, but really keeps you present in your life, productive in your life, doing well. What ritual practice do you utilize?
Well, I think grounded is a good word. I think for a man like me and what I've been through, having my feet on the floor and connecting with where I am is priority. It's very important to be in my life fully. And every day when I wake up, I've started building a practice of meditation and journaling. I think it's been, it's probably the best thing I can do for myself as a writer and also a person in recovery. But just a person in general, I think letting all those thoughts out in the morning into the journal, setting the intentions for my day, you know, what can I do today to make this day awesome? And when I come in at night, I spend a few more minutes in the journal. You know, what is something amazing that happened today? What could I have done to make it even better? I think these rituals of just a few minutes with myself and being honest and letting it out, it's been very helpful.
And I love this question for you, especially because of all you've been through. But if you could go back, Thomas, if you could say anything to your 16-year-old self, and I actually believe energetically this is possible. This is often how we pull ourselves forward. Mm-hmm. But if you could today say something to your 16-year-old self, what would you say to that boy or almost man?
I would say that there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. I would say you are a whole, perfect, beautiful person. You are a very capable, imaginative, and creative man. And you're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. You do not need to listen to anyone or anything who's telling you different. So you've got everything you need. Just go out and just enjoy your life.
And for those who are writers, are there any tips you might offer? Like, please avoid this. I've seen these mistakes or I've done these mistakes. Don't even bother. 1 to 3 tips, like something not to do because it will create a lot of obstacles and lack of success.
Well, I have a lot to learn about being a writer, but I think I have I consider myself past the apprentice stage and now officially the beginning of the journeyman stage. So what I've learned from that first stage is two things. Stephen Pressfield, he writes about writing, he writes about art and resistance. And he said the one thing that separates an amateur writer from a pro writer is that the pro writer keeps writing no matter what. You don't feel like writing, fine. You know what? Write anyway. Not in the mood, you're hungry, you got a headache, you're kind of tired, great, write anyway. Once you do that, once you make a practice of that, that's the difference. And the second piece of advice that has made a difference for me is it's very simple and it seems trivial, but the effects are profound. And that is get dressed. Don't write in your pajamas. Don't write in your bathrobe. Like, get dressed like you're going to work, because you are. So put your clothes on, put your professional clothes on, you know, just get ready like you're going to the office. It makes a huge difference.
Huge. Thank you for sharing that. You know, when I first, when I left the corporate world and became an entrepreneur, I would hear a few other entrepreneurs laugh and go, ha ha, I'm in my skivvies, or I'm still wearing my pajamas, or I'm wearing my sweatpants. And I didn't know. I had no idea, but something happened to me the moment I became an entrepreneur, and I would wake up in the morning and choose my clothing.
I would
choose really nice clothing. I would put on perfume and makeup. And sometimes, let's be honest, today I don't always do makeup, but it's like I do get dressed every day. And there's something about what you're saying that allows my energy to be fully present, fully professional. Like, I am starting my day. I am starting my work life. I am here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's magnetizing in some way, even though half the time people can't see me, but it really makes a difference in my psyche. So I just want to point out those two pieces of advice. They're succulent. They are really meaningful. And how easy is that to pick out something? And I know at the very least what it does for me, showing up like that, fully dressed like a professional. It just makes me feel phenomenal to start the day and really be in the day.
I think it also signals to the universe that, you know what, I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Let's get to work. I'm serious about this. I'm committed. And I think the universe will answer you like, okay, yeah. He's not fooling around. Let's get started.
That's right. She is. He is. They're serious.
Yes.
So bring it. Well, Thomas M. Hewlett, thank you so much for being on Dare to Dream Radio today. It was truly a pleasure.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Thank you.
And folks, again, if you want to check him out, go to 12stakes.com. And I end today's show with this quote from John R. Miller. If you will call your troubles experiences, and remember that every experience develops some latent force within you, you will grow vigorous and happy, however adverse your circumstances may seem to be. If you want to subscribe to inspirational YouTube videos, find mine at youtube.com/DebOnTheRadio. And if it's time for you to become a best-selling author, time to learn how to get booked on radio and get huge results, go to mybestsellerbook.com. It is a guaranteed service. Thank you for joining me today on Dare to Dream. And remember, the secret of success is for you to have the courage to begin in the first place.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com That's www.debbidachinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it.